valleys. So we talked a lot about that. We also laid a foundation and we said valleys in the Bible have to do with the not fun places of life. They're metaphors for the not good times of life. And then we talked about the hills, and today we're going to talk about the mountains. And those are the good parts of life. How many of you would like to just be forever planted on top? Man, I would, but unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So we talked, that was kind of our foundation. And starting today, we're going to go through four major valleys that they talk about in the Bible. And today, the title is called The Valley of Failure. Because I've had a few. Anybody have a few failures in your life? Yeah, well, we're going to talk about, not yours, but we'll talk about some of them. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. I thank you so much of your amazing, faithful, great love that you would help us through valleys. And I thank you today, Father, that the word will bring light to our path. We'll see how big your heart is for us and your plans to get us through that. Today, again, in Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, I'm going to start with a failure story. And I decided to talk about somebody else's failure stories because I usually talk about all mine. And you're thinking, gosh, she's just a failure. But I'm not. I've got some great successes in my life. But let me tell you this one because this is kind of like the icing on the cake. This is actually a good friend of mine. He's a pastor, Joe. And it was the time in their, they've been pastoring for about 30 years. It was a time when they decided they were going to have a building program. They were going to expand their sanctuary, and they needed offices desperately. They actually, by the way, they're not from York, so you don't have to go, click, 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 who is it, okay? They live out of state. So they raised millions of dollars, a couple million dollars, in about 3 years' time, this church, so they can expand their sanctuary and have offices. So right after they did that, they're like, oh, goody, 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 let's go to the zoning board. Everybody go, oh, God. Okay, that, you know where the story goes. So they go to the zoning board, and I have only gone to once to a zoning board invitation, okay? And what they do is the zoning board, they'll send out invitations to all the neighbors to say, hey, we're going to have a meeting. You get to say if you agree with what the proposal is, or you get to say you are not in agreement. So it was very interesting. It happens to be a large church. So normally they met in this one room. Well, they had to go to the high school to meet in the cafeteria for all the people that wanted to come out for the zoning board meeting. All right, so then the proposal goes forth and the la-di-da-di-la-di-da. And the neighbors, because they had bought years ago an old school. And schools are in neighborhoods. Well, the neighbors were very concerned about the traffic if they expanded their building. How much more traffic are you going to do? They were concerned about their children's safety. They were concerned about the noise that would happen if this church got any bigger. I think they're all amazing problems to have. But apparently the zoning board didn't agree. And guess what? They voted it down. Well, you got to know my pastor friend, Joe. So he goes and appeals it one time. He goes and appeals it the next time. He keeps taking it all up. And he just gets smacked down every single time. And the interesting thing that made it really bad is, one, they'd already had taken up this monies for a couple of million dollars. They'd already told everybody, we're building a bigger sanctuary. We're going to have finally offices. And that was really bad. But what makes it even worse is that the day that they got shot down, the news broadcast it. Church shot down. They can't build their sanctuary. And see, that happened in the middle of the week. And the pastor, Pastor Joe, didn't even get to announce it on Sunday at church. And there was a big rumble going on. Oh, what are you going to do with our money now? Okay. So we have one, a great shame. Like, the church, they're just so, you know, gosh, they didn't get their ducks in a row. Well, sort of, yeah. But there was a shame going on. There was a great failure. Pastor Joe and I and a group of ministers were talking about, he felt tremendous shame. He felt tremendous failure Actually, he was in the valley of failure. Has anybody ever been through a valley of failure and felt some of that? If you haven't, I'm having lunch with you. I just want to see how you figured out life. Because, wow, okay? So, and listen, I'm pretty sure I could tell you a whole bunch of my failures, and I'm sure if I went out to lunch, if you're really honest, you could tell me some of your failures, right? You've all had some failures here. But this is the coolest thing about when we are going through a valley. This is the cool thing, that God wants to reach his hand down and pull you out of that valley, that failure, and put you on the mountain. That's the cool thing. That is just the amazing thing. And that's what we're going to talk about. And if you don't know that, you're in a pretty hard, dark place. So that's what we're going to talk about, how God wants to pull you out of the valley and put you on the top. All righty. So we're open up to Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to start with the Bible story. And the Bible story is found in Genesis 14. I'll tell you what verse in a minute. And it's called the Valley of Sidon, or Sidon, S-I-D-D-I-N, Sidon. S-I-D-D-I-M, Siddim. Sorry, misspelled it wrong. The Valley of Siddim. All right, now, let me give you the condensed Decashman version. There are actually 9 kings that have gathered together to fight each other. And there's 5 on one side, and there's 4 on the other side. And they've gathered not just the kings. When the kings gather, guess who they bring with them? The army. Okay, so you've got these kings and the armies, and they are going to fight. And it's the battle's going to take place in the Valley of Siddim. This is where the battle takes place, okay? Now, the 5 kings that have gathered, 2 of those kings you kind of know about. The king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah. Anybody ever hear of those guys, those places? Okay. And this is actually before they get really, really bad and God has to wipe them out. But they're a part of the armies that have gathered with the 5. And then we've got these armies that they've got the 4 over here. And, by the way, Bible trivia. I love Bible trivia. Okay. Sometimes you just want to toss it out. So we have the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then later on God wipes them out. Do you know where they're located right now, where they were wiped out? Do you know that area? You do. It's called the Dead Sea. It's where they got wiped out. And here's Bible trivia. Has anybody been to the Dead Sea? I know a couple people have been to Israel. You went to Israel, right? Ruth? I'm sorry. Yeah, you went to there. Okay, so I was just recently talking to a pastor and his wife that they went there, and you can float on the Dead Sea because it's so full of minerals and salt. The salt content is ridiculous. So you know what this pastor, a friend of ours that went, he says, I deliberately went out there with my newspaper. And I was just, and he's a big old guy. He's about 253. And he's just floating. He says, I'm floating high on top of this thing reading my newspaper. I said, Pastor John, you should have been reading your Bible. What do you mean, newspaper? But you know, we were just razzing one another. Anyway, so that's my Bible trivia. This is where this Sodom and Gomorrah got wiped out, and that's where it presently is, okay? So back to my story. So we've got these 5 kings, and 2 of them are the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then we've got these 4 kings, and they have this big battle, and guess what? These 5 kings lose the battle. Okay, they lose it, they get just smeared, and they decided they better get hightail it out of Dodge, and they're retreating. Okay, so that's a little bit of a failure, huh? You lost the battle. A little bit of shame, right? You have to retreat. You know, what was it say? Tuck your tail between your legs and go running. It's a little bit of failure going on here. But to top it all off, and this is where you're going to read. Where's my... Genesis 14:10. This is like the, let's just throw you over the cliff on how bad the failure is. I'm going to read out of the Good News Translation, just a fun, let me tell you, if you've got kids or grandkids and they're of the age to start reading independently, this is a good translation for kids. I'm a kid. I'm still a kid. But it's just an easy read, okay? So Genesis 14:10, the valley was full of tar pits, and when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah tried to run away from the battle, they fell into the pits, but the other 3 kings escaped to the mountain. Okay, so can you imagine, you've just had this terrible failure, and you're just tucking your tail and you're running, and then you get stuck in these pits. Now this isn't like the the tar pits that bubble and they're hot. They're just sticky places, just glue, and they just get stuck in there. And then your buddies, you know, the other three kings, you think they'd pull you out of it. No, they just go right past you. And then we've got the guys that beat you, and they're all watching you. They're all looking at you stuck. So you talk about you have a valley of failure. Uh-huh. Would you agree? That's a valley of failure, okay? Now, have you ever felt like you've been stuck in a pit? A tar pit, all right? I have. I've had a couple of seasons in life where I was in a failed place in my life, and I felt like that. And maybe, now I'm just tossing this out, maybe not you, maybe it's somebody else, but maybe you're still stuck in the pit. You're still stuck in your failure. And we're going to talk about that because God's heart. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself already. It's one thing to have a failure in your life. And we have failures. We have things that we do. We have things that people do. And life just goes bad, okay? But it's one thing to have that failure in your life. But then to have the shame. And the shame, I call the shame, is you are still stuck in that. And 10 years goes by. 20 years goes by. 30 years goes by. And you are still stuck in that place. Now that's a shame, isn't it? And I'm going to share a story of where I didn't realize that I was stuck later on here. But today, write this down. This is the one thing, well, I want you to get everything, but this is the one thing I want you to get when you walk out of here so clear that you understand. Just becomes really big. It's like the big idea. So you can write this down. God wants to take you from the pit. He wants to take you to the mountain peak. He wants to take you from the pit. And he wants to take you to the mountain peak, okay? Guys, that is the heart of God. He's not sitting there looking, oh, look at them, the poor pitiful thing. They're stuck in the pit, okay? No, he sees you and he wants to grab hold of you and he wants to get you out of that. That's his heart. Now, last week we talked about valleys and we said, again, valleys aren't good places to be in. They're not the fun place. Those are the difficult. That's when we have just tough times. And we also found out that valleys, nobody wants to be in a valley. Anybody want to be in a valley? Yeah, you need your head examined if you do. Okay, nobody wants to be in those difficult times. But they happen, and once we're in there, we want to get out of there, right? That's what we talked about last week. Alrighty? But they happen in our life. Man, I've had a few of them happen in my life. I don't know about you. But the thing that I want you to know is that God wants to help you out of the pit and put you back up on top, all right? He wants to, listen, he loves you so much, and he sees you at your lowest point, and his love is just reaching down, and he would like to help you get out of that pit. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that you serve. That's the God who's just full of love. So praise the Lord, and we're going to talk about that now. Maybe you had something in your life, a failure in your life, and you're stuck in the valley, and it was just a failed relationship, you know, a failed relationship, or you had a failed financial thing happen in your life. You went bankrupt, okay? Maybe it's you just failed at a job, all right, and you got fired, all right? We have things, sometimes we do it, and sometimes it's just people do it to us. And you got stuck in this valley, all righty? But you know what's the cool thing? God wants to connect with us and help us out. That is, I want to say that again over and over. God loves you. He wants to help you, connect you, and pull you out. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, when I think I've been a mess, I think of who's worse than me. Who do you have to think about? King David. David, the whole life of David. David had a lot of public failures upon public failures, and then some more failures, and then he did some private failures that didn't stay private, and then they went public. I mean, David just had a whole lot of failures. Anybody agree with that? Yep. Well, so turn over to Psalm 40, and I'm going to read you something that David wrote. Psalm 40. All right. This is David writing this. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry for help. All righty. So David right there is in one of his pits. He's in the valley. He's in the pit. He's stuck in the tar. All right. So he's there. This is David writing. And then let's read verse 2. He pulled me what? He pulled me out of the horrible pit, out of the mud, out of the clay, and we can say the tar pit, and he set my feet on a rock, and he made my steps secure. Praise the Lord. David's talking about his own experiences. He's talking about the things that he went through and the things that God pulled him out of. So if you found yourself that you are stuck, you've just had this terrible thing happened to your life. You may have even done it. Listen, this is such an encouraging scripture that God, you cry out for help and he'll bring you up out of your pit, out of your tar, out of your valley, and he'll bring you to a good place. Amen? All righty. Now, I got to say this over and over. It doesn't matter if you caused it. Anybody ever caused your own valley, your own pit? I have done it to myself. And this one, sometimes actually people sometimes have a harder time. Sometimes somebody else did it to you. You didn't do it, but they brought you down to this place and now you're stuck in that valley. It doesn't matter. Everybody say it doesn't matter. Man, it doesn't matter. God's heart is whether you did it or someone else did it, is to grab hold of you, reach his arm down, pull you up out of that pit, and put you on a high place. That's the God we serve. I'm so glad because I have put myself. And you know what, guys? That's actually a promise to all of us, and we'll get to it. So I'm thinking about all of this. God, this is the heart of God. He sees me in this pit. And he wants to grab hold of me and he wants to bring me up on this mountain. And I'm like, God, how do I make people see this even clearer? How do I make you see it clear? Well, number one, write this down. You have to understand how Jesus sees your failure. It is so important. Okay. Cause there's a lot of going pointing fingers, but you really have to have this really in your core. How does Jesus see my failure? So we're going to look at Peter. Let me tell you, Peter does a doozy. All right. And we're going to look at how Jesus saw Peter's failure, how he treated him through the failure, and how he saw him at the end of this. So we're going to see how Jesus sees us through our failures. All righty. So number one, write this down. How Jesus sees our failures. Number one, here we go. Guess what? He is not surprised at your failures. You know, I just, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. Have you ever said that to your kid? Okay. Well, Jesus is not surprised when you have a failure going on. And you know, sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I have to face Jesus and tell him I'm sorry. All right. He is not surprised. Why? He knows the beginning from the end. He's all knowing. All right, so stop having a heart attack. Oh my gosh, he's going to be so surprised. He knows. He knows, okay? Turn over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. This is our guy, Peter. All righty. Luke, is that Luke 21 or 22? I have it written down two different ways. Try Luke 22, guys. Nope, that's not it. Luke 22. By the way, you can ask Google. Google knows where everything is in the Bible. It cracks me up. Also, BibleGateway.com just pulls you up, and then you can hit 25 different translations, okay? Okay, here we go. Thank you, guys. I'm sitting here going, I don't think that looks right. Alrighty. So this is Jesus, and he's talking to Peter, and he goes, Simon, Simon, by the way, that's his first name. Peter's his middle name. I don't know. Okay, he's talking to Peter. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has received permission to test all of you to separate the good from the bad as a farmer separates the wheat from the chaff. Some of you right now are twitching in your face. What? We have permission. Satan has permission. Yeah. If you were here last week, we found out that God doesn't do it, We live on a cursed earth, and Satan is still the god of the earth, and he will sometimes cause things to happen that throw you into it, all right? Sometimes it's just, we found out that Satan's one of the sources for our valleys, our difficult times, all righty? Now, these guys didn't know that Satan could possibly throw them in the valley, so Jesus is writing to them to let them know. Peter especially is letting them know, okay? So here's what Jesus is saying. Hey, Peter, I just want you to know that there's going to be this test, and I also want you to know that you're going to fail. All right? Now, and the whole point of this is God's not surprised when you are a royal mess up. And the reason why I say that, a lot of times we mess up, and then we run from God. Oh my gosh, what if God found out? Oh my gosh, what is God going to think of me? Guys, you need to know that. He is not shocked. He knows everything. Okay, now, I'm building on this, so you can stop twitching your eyes and going, what the heck? Okay, number two, write this down. How Jesus sees our failures. Number two, Jesus prays for us before and after our failure. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. There isn't a week that doesn't go by that someone comes up to me and says, hey, Pastor D, I've got this surgery this week. Will you keep me in prayer? Or, hey, Pastor D, I've got this this big meeting with my bosses this week. Would you pray for me? Or, Pastor D, I've got, a parent. My kid has to take this final exam in order to graduate, and they're rocking on a C and a D. Would you pray for them? Okay? And I did, you know. So when you come up to me and say, Pastor D, would you pray about this? I do. But here's my question. Who would you rather have pray for you, me or Jesus? I'm not offended this time. Okay? Okay, I would rather have Jesus pray for me, all right? Don't you think he'd pray a little bit better? He does. But listen, you can have both of us. Praise God. You can have both. I do pray. All righty. So look down at the next. We're at Luke 22. I just read 31. We're going to read 32. This is Jesus. Who's he talking to? It's Peter. And he says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith fail not. Praise the Lord. So one, guys, Jesus always prays for us. Who's he praying for right here? He's praying for Peter. He knows Peter's going to fail because he's all knowing. He's not surprised. But listen, he's praying that he wouldn't get, that when he fails, that he doesn't get knocked off course. Okay? That when he fails, he doesn't quit. How many of you, no, must not be any of us here. How many of you know people, they've gone through a really difficult time in their life, and they just get knocked off the saddle, and they're done with God? Anybody know people like that? I know too many people like that. All righty? So Jesus is praying. He's saying, he's praying that the failure doesn't knock him out. He's praying that the failure doesn't knock him out. Okay? So you and I need to understand how Jesus sees us in the middle of failure, and then I'm going to tell you a couple other things. But in the meantime, turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Again, Jesus prays for us before and after our failures. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he, meaning Jesus, is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him, Jesus. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Raise your hand if you're a there. There is talking to believers. So he's ever living to pray for me. He ever lives to pray for you. He's up in heaven, guys. Not on vacation. He's up there and he prays for you and for me. And you know what that does? That puts confidence in me. Man, okay. I got Jesus praying for me. All right? Okay, I've told this before, but one day I was not in a good place. I told you I got a lot of those places. And I was having a poor pity pee me. Poor me, poor me. And I went to Jack and I was like, you know, everybody prays for you. You're the pastor. Wah, wah, wah. And my parents had passed away and I was just feeling pitiful. Nobody prays for me. I obviously didn't know that scripture. I didn't know that at that time. I was like, man, it's Jesus ever lives to pray for me. I mean, I appreciate, by the way, please pray for me. But listen, I've got the Son of God, the risen Savior that prays for me. That's exciting. Don't you think that's exciting? Well, put a smile on your face. Golly gee whiz. All righty. So he prays that our faith doesn't fail. He prays that we stand up again. And he prays that we get pulled out and put back on the mountain. That's a pretty complete prayer, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All righty. Number three, how does Jesus see our failures? Okay, number three. He expects us to recover. He expects us to recover from our failure. And again, how many of you know people that they're smushed? They never got over. All right. So Jesus expects us to recover. All righty. I'm going to give you some good scriptures. First, for all of you that are married and your spouse, or better yet, you messed up, you blew it, whether it's a big thing or just a little thing. And then your spouse comes up to you and says, "Oh, honey, I believe in you. You're going to get through this." Doesn't that make you feel good? They believe in you. They're for you. Well, listen, this is even better. This is what Jesus is saying. I believe. I'm expecting you to get over this. Better yet, I'm going to grab hold of you and you're going to get up. So that's so encouraging. All right, turn over to Luke. We're still at Luke. Luke 22. I'm going to read again, verse 32. But I have prayed for you. Thank you, Lord, you pray for us. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith fail not. And when you turn back to me. That's the confidence that Jesus has in you after you've messed up, that you're going to turn back to him. Jesus had so much confidence that he knew Peter was going to fail. He still loved him in his failure, but he had confidence that he would return to Jesus and serve him. And by the way, did you read your Bible? Did he? He sure did. Peter was instrumental in the continuing of the gospel after Jesus was died and rose again. Amen. So I want to tell you guys, Jesus has that confidence in you. He has that confidence in you that, yeah, you got yourself in a pit, but he has confidence in you, and actually confidence of him in you, that you will not get stuck in the pit and that he can bring you out. All righty. Now you might say, yeah, but Pastor D, I made the mistake. I caused the whole shabam. All right. And Jesus is that, we talked about that last week. It doesn't matter. He still loves you. He loves you and he wants to help you out of it. And guys, until that is settled in your heart, you will stay stuck for centuries. But I'm telling you, he loves you. All righty. Now, I'm going to move on. I want to show you three things. Well, that's three, maybe four. I'm kind of sick. Okay. Three things, what you do in the valley, in your not so good place, in the pit. Okay. Three things you do to have God help you out. So actually, you have to do some things so God will help you out. Alrighty. Number one. All right. You have to grieve your failure. You have to grieve your failure. Pastor D, what are you talking about? The Bible says, grieve not. No, hang on. Okay, what I simply mean is you have to face your failure. You have to accept it. Now, I have some problems with that in my life. Okay, and I'll tell you a little bit about them, all right? So you have to face it. You have to accept it. And another way I like to say it is you go to your past failures so you can go through them. You have to go look at them so you can get through them. Alrighty. You have to go through them. All right. So let's turn over to Matthew 26. Again, I'm going to talk about Peter because Peter does that big boo-boo. I mean, shoo, big failure, big shame. Matthew 26, verse 75. Good job up there in the booth. Let's all wave at Adam. Thank you very much. Okay. This is Peter after his failure. This is Peter after big failure, right? What was his failure? He denied Jesus. I've done a lot of bad, but I don't think I've done that one, okay? So this is after his failure. And he says, Peter remembered what Jesus had told him. And he said, before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you don't know me. Peter remembered that, and what did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. Now, not all of us are criers, okay? Some guys cry, some guys don't. Some girls cry, some girls don't, right? Okay? And personally, I have to look at my life. I'm probably not a crier, but it really depends on the valley or the thing that I'm going through, whether I'm going to cry, right? Everybody know you're on the page with me? Okay? Now, I'm going to say this, though. Grieving isn't always crying. Okay? Just because you cry doesn't mean you grieve. All right? Just over your heads. Hang on there, okay? But when you face it and you accept your failure, you're going to have a grieving, okay? And it's not supposed to be a long thing. You're not supposed to be there for 25 years, okay? I like instant presto, okay? But I'm going to tell you, when you face it, when you accept it, that's the grieving part. That's when you grieve. Now, how many of you have gone through a failure and you never faced it and you never grieved it? And I'm like, are you kidding me? It hurts to think about it. I'm not doing that. That's me. And you know what I do? I'm a stuffer. I just stuff it. Okay? And then one day, maybe 10 years down the road, I find myself facing that same failure and I can't get through it. So you have to accept it. You have to face it so you can get through it. Praise the Lord. Let's do number two. This is going to get happy, I promise, to the ending. All righty. Number two, you must release your failures. So first we had to grieve it, we face it, we accept it. Now the next one is you release. You have to release it. All righty. Now, guys, God did not create you to carry the guilt of your failure. God did not create you and I to carry the guilt of our failure. All right? He did not. And by the way, that's why Jesus came, or one of the reasons why he came, so he could take your guilt and your shame, right? You read that scripture before, and carry it for you. Praise God. Alrighty. So when I say release your failure, what I'm talking about is you go, Lord, I have really botched up and I'm going to face it. I accept it. And then I'm going to go to your mercy. I'm going to call out on your mercy. I'm going to put it up on there. I'm going to leave it there. And you know, God says, well, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. And I remember your sins no more. Right? So that's how you release. You take it to the Lord. And you just leave it on his mercy. And guys, his mercy is way bigger than your failures. His mercy is way bigger than your failures. So don't go carrying it. All righty? Now, praise the Lord. For some people, this is difficult. For some people, this is difficult. They make a mistake, and then they have this guilt, and they carry it for 10 years, 20 years. And you know how you know them? Because there's none of them here, right? They're bitter. They're angry. All right? They got this, and it's eating them up from the inside out. Okay? That's kind of like the red flag on the football field. Oh! Beep. They're not doing it. Okay? So that's how you kind of know when people haven't gotten rid of that. They haven't released it. All righty? Turn over to Lamentations. Lamentations is the middle of your Old Testament. If you don't feel like flipping it, they're going to put it up here. Okay, Lamentations. How am I doing here? Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. I'm going to read this one out of the Message Bible. Again, if you're just got a teen or a fifth grader, they're getting to be independent and reading their Bible, the Message Bible. Just great. I hate to say easy read, but it's easy to comprehend. And it just kind of grabs you. There's stories. Okay. So this is why I'll pull this out sometimes. It just gets it real simple. All righty. So you're all at Lamentations, or at least looking up here. Lamentations 3, 22, 23. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. Why? Ready? They're created new every morning. They're created new every morning. I remember being a newbie. You know what that means? A new believer. I mean, I am just received Jesus and don't know nothing. And I would, but I did know because of my background that I would run to God all the time. And I thought, he must be so sick and tired. God doesn't get sick. But anyway, sick and tired of me coming in. And I would come into his presence like five times the one day for the same thing and go, God, I've messed up. I'm sorry. And then I'd turn around and I'm sorry. And then I turn around, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Anybody ever done that before? And I was just like, ah! And then you know what I had to finally figure out, realize and accept? God forgave me. That's who he is. He's the forgiver. And actually, that's when I knew who I was in Christ. I was the forgiven. And I didn't carry that stuff, that guilt and shame. Man, I just got a whole lot better. So what if you messed up? Anybody ever messed up? You're probably going to mess up maybe even before the day is done. So what if it was your fault? So what? That's why Jesus came. He came to forgive you your mess ups. To carry them off of your guilt and shame and just toss them away. So everybody say, so what? I love it. Don't let your kids say that to your face. I was like, oh, kitty, alrighty, all right. Alrighty, so here's the third one and we'll wrap up here. Here's the third one. We must support our failures. Okay, hear me out. This is really cool. Peter had a support group, a.k.a. a grow group. A.K.A. a small group. Peter had a small group. By the way, Pastor Sherry did all my announcements. We started at your house, Joe, as a small group. That's where the church beginnings. All righty? It's the fiber of this church to always gather together in small groups, aside from the big gathering. All right? So let me tell you about that, though, getting back on track. Peter. So Peter's in this grow group, and you know who the leader of the grow group is? Jesus, right? You guys are so good. Jesus is the leader of the grow group, and there's seven guys that are in the grow group, right? Seven other guys, right? You all with me? You're all looking like, what is she talking about? Okay, now, Jesus is the leader, and then one day he gets murdered, hung on a cross, right? And that just kind of shakes the group up, right? They're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And that's when Peter has his real, that's the kind of the failure in Peter's life from that point on. He goes through this failure part here. And guess what Peter did after his failure where he denied Jesus? He went back to his grow group. Did you read your Bibles? Now, if I would have done that failure, I would have left the planet. And actually, somebody did. His name was Judas, right? He did the big failure, okay? Peter did the failure. He accepted it. He released it. He grieved it. And then he went to his group, didn't he? All right. Look at the scripture here. John 20:26. John 20:26. It's okay. You can't be doing that, all right? But so you need to go to a group. How many of you have groups where you guys, sometimes you don't even get to the lesson because you got questions going on and issues going on in people's lives. And the Lord just pours into those questions, okay? That's the amazing thing, and you get supported. All righty. So, praise the Lord. I did my spiel for groups. I will tell you I would not be here had there not been involved in a grow group. Many times I'm involved in one or two groups throughout the year. I still go to a group. I would like to go to a group and not lead a group. So please, somebody lead a group so I can go to a group and not lead a group. All right? But I am leading a group here coming up. All righty. I want to close up to this. Go back to Psalm 40. This will be my last scripture. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk fast. Here we go. Psalm 40. We started with that. Only thing, we read verses 1 and 2. I want to go back to Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. Now, I'm going to say this. This is like my point four, really. Once God grabs you out of the pit and puts you on to the mountain peak, you need to minister your failure. Okay? You need to minister your failure. Praise the Lord. Where's my psalm? Here we go. Psalm 40, verse 2. He pulled me out of the horrible pit, out of the mud, out of the clay. He set my feet on a rock and made my steps secure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So listen, your greatest failure is going to be your greatest ministry. Jack used to say, the thing you've been called out of is going to be the thing that you're called to. The failure that you've been called out of, I'm telling you, baby, you are called to minister it. All right, but you have to first get out of the pit. Warning, warning, warning. Don't start this until you get out of the pit. All righty? Okay, verse 3, this is a good part. He placed a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Many will see this and worship. They will trust in the Lord. Okay, what's the new song that he places in your mouth? After he's pulled you out of the pit and placed you on the high place, it's a song of freedom. It's a song of victory. It's a song of peace. It's a song of hallelujah, I'm through. Right? All right. Now, it's a song where you get to tell other people what God did in your life. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, I got a song. All righty. When God grabs you out of the pit, he works in your life, places you on the mountain peak, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Like, it doesn't mean that that hard place, that mistake, whatever it was in your life, it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that that the failure wasn't there. But what it does mean is it was. I grieved it. I accepted it. And God grabbed me up and placed me on a high place. And now I'm able to tell other people. There's a lady that's been in our church, just went through a really tough battle in her life. And you know what she said halfway through that? She was just smarter than most of us. She says, you know what? I am going through this. And as soon as I'm through this, I am telling people, I'm going to help people that they will get through the same thing. All right? Guys, after God grabs you out of your pit, places you on a high place, you have a story to tell. And the worst thing is if you go, tell nobody. You always shout the victories of the Lord and tell people and help them. Help them out of their pit. And I believe that's what, and I want to encourage all of you. I want to just encourage you. That's your mission afterwards. After God just does this work in your life, that's your mission. That's your mission. That's your mission. That's your story, is to tell other people and help them out. Amen? All right. Now, let's pray. Close your eyes. No peeking. Or the nuns will come and smack the back of your head. If you weren't raised in the Catholic faith, you have no clue what I just said. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you just that you're faithful, that you're faithful. And Lord, I know there are people that are going through some tough times right now. I know that there are people that are going through some tough times and they haven't gotten through them. I know there's some people that have gone through tough times. They're up on the mountaintop. And I thank you that they're all ready to tell their story. And then there's others, they're just kind of in between somewhere. But Lord, I thank you that you are a good God. Your love is to reach down and grab us out of the pit, out of the hard places, out of the hurting places, out of our failures, and bring us back up so that you can use us. And today, Father, I thank you that you started a work in people's hearts. It may not happen like this, but right now, Father, they're facing their failure. They're accepting it, Father. They're releasing it and forgiving those. Forgive themselves. Forgive others. And I thank you, Father, that you pull them back up so they can be used to tell of the great things you've done, because you who begun a good work in us, you complete it. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I just thank you. Just minister to people. Just stay quiet for a second. Praise God. The food trucks will be for you later. Don't worry. That's where I'm headed. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You just speak to us, Father. You know us. You know where we are and where we need to be. I thank you. You've just pointing and just your love just pours over our hearts, Father. There's no guilt in our failures. There's no shame. We cast that on you, Lord, on your mercy. And we thank you. You are always faithful to forgive us when we've messed up. And I thank you for the great plans and the places you have for everybody in this place. In Jesus' name, pray. Praise God. Just one more thing. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I'd like to connect with the God that you've been talking about, with the Savior. And I'm ready. And I just want to make sure that you're clear with this, that I'm not asking you to join a church. We don't even have church membership anymore. You just come. But I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking if you were raised in church or a Christian home. I'm not asking you to, if you were sprinkled as a baby or dunked as later on. And I will tell you, those are all great things to do in your life. But the problem is, you can do those and never have met and accepted and received a personal relationship with Jesus, right? So I'm asking you, if there's somebody here, can you remember a day and a time where you said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Savior. Jesus, I believe you died for me. You took all my sins and all my failures, and you washed my sins away. And I believe and I accept you to be my Savior, and I'm going to follow you. And so I'm asking if you... if you've never prayed that prayer, and you can say, Pastor D, I've never prayed that, but today I'm ready. Today I want to be connected. I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive all that in my life. And I will tell you that the moment you do that, there's a miracle that takes place in your life. Man, he takes all the old and the hurt, he just throws it away, and he puts something new inside of you. And even better than that, at that point, you get connected with God. He's your Father. Jesus is your big brother. The Holy Spirit is just this amazing, always with you. So I'm going to ask if you can't remember a time that you prayed that prayer and you'd like to, I'd like to pray with you. And matter of fact, I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer out loud. We're going to pray it so that you can hear yourself, okay? You have to hear yourself. Pray this prayer, all right? You hear yourself, and then I tell my kids this. After you pray the prayer, go write it in a Bible and read it every day. But pray this with me. Say, Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I thank you, Jesus, you died on a cross for me. I thank you that you forgive me my sins. Amen. My sins are wiped away. You take my shame and my guilt. And I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. I'm now a child of God. Praise God. Because you come and live inside of me. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.